This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT On Demand with Matt Rooney.
Welcome back, old friends, new frenemies, and all who lie elsewhere in between on the spectrum that is life. This is the Matt Rooney Show. I am the aforementioned Matt Rooney, coming to you for a bite-sized version of our little program this evening. That's right, you only get an hour this time, folks, but I said bite-sized because we're going to pack a lot of punch into this relatively abbreviated version of our show. We're going to laugh, we are going to cry, we are going to educate you, and we've got a great guest coming up in just a few moments here. We have Brent Sadler from the Heritage Foundation. He's an expert in naval warfare, but we have him here tonight to talk about the big issue that is currently roiling New Jersey's election 2025. Mikey Sherrill, Rebecca Sherrill, as she's known on her birth certificate, the Democrat nominee, did not get to walk at her Naval Academy graduation, which in of itself probably raises some red flags, right? But her story keeps changing. The situation keeps evolving or degrading, I guess, depending upon your perspective. And it's looking like it's having an impact on the race. Brent isn't just a naval warfare expert. He is a graduate of the Naval Academy, and he was in the same class as Mikey. So we're going to get his perspective on this scandal, and he's also written about it over at the Daily Caller. So looking forward to that coming up in just a few. We also have with us the sometimes absent but always missed producer of the Matt Rooney Show, who likes to be here, especially when his job is only an hour long, the one, the only, Dan Valdez. Hello, hey. Daniel.
Hey.
How's it going?
It's going.
How about them Cowboys?
How about them Packers?
What do you mean, how about them Packers? Are you a Packers fan now?
I've always been a Packers fan.
No, you're a Cowboys fan.
No, I'm a Packers fan.
Oh, wait, that's right. You're one of these guys that has more than one team, which is disgusting.
Let me put it this way.
I forget when we're not in football season, and then it comes up, and I'm reminded, and I'm...
Let me put it this way, since everyone seems to understand this, like, they don't understand. I'm a Packers fan, but I just follow the Cowboys as well.
Yeah, that doesn't make any sense, though. I follow all sorts of teams.
So I get double disappointments both times.
But hold on a second. I mean, technically, if you're keeping up with a team's record, you're watching what's happening with the team, you're technically following them. Yeah, what does follow mean in your vernacular?
I mean, I also follow the Eagles.
Okay, but does that mean like, oh, we're not dating, but we're just hooking up? Like, what does that mean
I guess
in the sports context? I don't get it.
When the Packers aren't playing, I'll root for the Cowboys.
That's so weird.
God forbid a man has hobbies, you know? Somewhat of a, you know, I follow the Cowboys because of my mom. That's about it.
Well, and you know what? The only reason I give you somewhat of a dispensation here is because your mother is such a wonderful lady.
Yeah.
She's a great person. The women in your life are definitely superior to you.
Thanks.
We can all agree with that, right?
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. But I'm glad you're back. I'm glad you're back from Dallas. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad you're here for the Matt Rooney Show. It's October, bud. The final sprint begins. I'm excited for elections. You're excited because it's spooky season.
Yep. I already did one spooky thing.
What was your spookalicious thing that you did?
The one where I got blood splattered on me and made into a sundae and all that fun stuff.
Oh, you did that already?
I did. I did that last weekend. That was opening weekend.
Okay. So just give us a brief description here because there are some new people here to the program and they don't know what a freak you are. So explain to them what exactly it is that you and Bella do.
I like going through haunted attractions, but the one that we just went to was more of like an extreme one. So instead of just going through and, you know, they jump out, boo, you know.
This isn't a high school kid in a Jason mask.
No. This is the blood experience where they can get physical with you. The one girl we were with, she popped out a baby, not a real one, but, you know, we had her simulate a birth. So that was fun.
But hold on a second. A girl you were with, someone you went to the event with, or someone that worked at the event?
Someone we went to. It was the four of us. It was Belle and I and then our friends.
and she simulated giving birth.
Yeah, the doctor was like, all right, I need a volunteer. They were like, all right, go ahead. And then...
Oh, it's like a, it's like a stage show with audience participation. Got it. Okay.
Yeah, and then they popped out a baby, and then we got made into a sundae with sprinkles and whipped cream and chocolate syrup. And the one guy we were with had to have intercourse with a hillbilly because they dropped his kid, so now he had to make another one. I got branded by Bob Ross. A whole bunch of stuff.
Wait, hold on. Why do I even want to stop the... Why am I trying to stop the tape here? To understand this.
Go ahead.
I mean, you had me at being branded by Bob Ross. Did he put a pretty little tree on your rear end or something? Like,
no,
what?
He just put BR on our shoulder.
Okay. So
it was weird. It was kind of out of place because it was like this spooky thing, and then all of a sudden Bob Ross is there, and he brands you, and I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, spooky isn't really something you normally associate with America's favorite belated painter. Right. I mean, he's dead, so I guess that's kind of spooky.
Yeah, I don't know.
Why do you enjoy this? What do you get out of it?
And I mean, psychopath.
There is something wrong with you, which is true.
I don't know, man. I never used to like this stuff. I never did. And then all of a sudden, I started working the older I got, and I was like, this is kind of stupid. But I think it's just like the adrenaline rush that it gives me.
I like to give you the benefit of the doubt. Everybody knows I've got a sweet spot for you. Some people like to jump out of airplanes.
I've never done that, but I would.
Well, my point is, though, is that any crazier? I don't know. Who's to say?
I don't know, but these are a lot of fun.
Yeah. Well, so you and I are not going to do that together. I'm more of a classic haunted hayride guy.
I don't like hayrides.
What do you have against hayrides? Do you have an allergy or something?
They don't do anything for me.
They don't do anything for you?
Nah, they don't really get that much in your face as much as I like.
See, I'm more about the atmospherics. Being outside, like the crisp autumn air.
Yes. I'm more about the scares.
You like the scares?
The scares and the theatrics.
Well, plenty of scares and theatrics this week down in Washington, D.C. I don't want to talk very long about the shutdown. Not that we have that long this evening anyway to talk about the shutdown. But look, I don't understand why anyone thinks the Democrats are going to score points by shutting down the government in order to preserve the right of a illegal criminal alien to get free health care. I mean, you want to talk about spooky? You want to talk about a blood show, folks? It's beyond horrifying, it's mystifying. But that's the place where we find ourselves today. Now, generally speaking, I don't really give a damn if the government is shut down because I'm a limited government conservative, so I want as little government as possible. But this is a little bit different because we finally have a president that is trying to help the American people and accomplish something, which is the rarest of all things in modern American history. So anything that keeps the Trump train from rolling, anything that derails his populist conservative agenda, is not a good thing for the American people. But I want to give you a little bit of a silver lining here, besides the fact that I don't think this thing's going to go all that long, because I think the political pressure on Democrats, especially Democrats in swing states, is probably going to grow pretty soon. You got to remember that this is their last gasp. Part of the reason why the Democrat coalition is shutting down the government right now is because their U.S. aid is gone. They don't control, at least outright, any of the major branches of government at the moment. They need money, man. They need money. So things like Medicaid for illegal aliens, it's all they got. So they got to shoot their shot, as the saying goes. So naturally, the media is going to try to run cover for them, even though it doesn't work like it used to, because we don't trust the media like we used to. They haven't earned that trust. But Speaker Johnson did a really good job the other day, Mike Johnson, of explaining exactly how illegal aliens were, in fact, getting Medicaid, and no one was doing a darn thing about it. This is the lie that you're hearing right now on just about every station, ABC, NBC, CBS, The Tonight Show, all the remaining late night programs that have not been canceled. Everyone's saying, oh, it's a lie. They're not, the illegals aren't getting Medicaid. Yes, they are. Yes, they are. And Mike Johnson, I got to give it to him. He is sticking to his proverbial guns here. Now, Republicans back in the Big Beautiful Bill, the legislation that was adopted in July, short of Medicaid, and one of the things that it did, because Democrats wanted to present it as cutting Medicaid, that's not really what it was. It strengthened the eligibility requirements. And one of the things it did is it made illegal aliens unable to game the system and obtain benefits that they're not entitled to. We had so many ineligible people receiving the benefits that you and I work our rear ends off and go to work and pay taxes to subsidize. No one wants people to suffer needlessly. I do not want to work, and I don't want to have my family not get everything that I work for because an illegal, able-bodied guy who broke into the country wants a free ride in the United States of America. If you're pregnant, if you're legitimately down on your luck, if you are disabled, if you are a senior citizen, none of what went down in that big, beautiful bill impacts you negatively. It's the fraud. It's the abuse. And I want you all, once again, to focus on what's really important here. Why is it that Democrats are only willing to go to war for people that defraud our system? They're not willing to fight for you. They're not willing to fight for me. They're only willing to fight for people that are trying to get a free ride. What does that say about their party, their principles, their values, their plan for this country? I mean, it's absolutely insane. I encourage you to go read what the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office, said about the big, beautiful bill. Actually, do your homework, do your research, right? And don't just fall for the BS that you hear from the major networks. I know that we're moving to a point in time where I'm not even going to really have to say that much longer because you've gotten wise. You're not allowing them to delude you any longer. You're doing your own work. But that's one of the reasons why 1210 WPHD exists, folks. Right? We're not quote-unquote fact-checking. We're not virtue signaling. We're giving you information and allowing you to make your own decisions. That's how we stay strong as a country. That's how we are great again as a country. And that's how we don't get taken in and slandered by Chuck Schumer and this cabal of far-left jerks down in Washington, D.C. that want to hold an entire nation hostage because they're not getting their own way anymore. Now, remember, coming up on the Matt Rooney Show, this abbreviated edition, we've got Brent Sadler, who's going to talk to us about the big scandal that is upending the New Jersey race for governor. He's not just another conservative talking head. He's someone that was actually there at the time that the scandal went down, the original scandal, at the Naval Academy, one of the largest cheating scandals in the history of our armed forces. I think hundreds of students were impacted by this entire thing. And Mikey Sherrill, we still don't know what her true role was. She's changed her story multiple times during the course of the past week or so since this story was first originally broken by the New Jersey Globe, a popular political website in my Garden State. At first, Mikey Sherrill said, oh yeah, I didn't snitch. I didn't tell all my classmates. And some people were sympathetic to that, right? Maybe it's a hard thing to do, to tell on others. Maybe it's something that you should learn before you become a commissioned naval officer, but perhaps some thought a little bit different than actually doing the cheating yourself. Then about 24 hours later, she gave a speech and told a very different story. Sherrill told her audience, well, you know, there was this test, and I didn't realize that it was, stolen, yada, yada, yada. In New Jersey, we have had more than one instance of a politician telling us that we should trust them, and then they immediately, almost immediately, okay, convince us that, well, you know what? They never really were worthy of our trust to begin with. That's what I'm worried about in this election. This now goes beyond, for me, Republican, Democrat, red team, blue team, conservative, liberal. Clearly, she's wrong on the issues. Our electric bills will continue to skyrocket. Our taxes will continue to rise. Our state will become increasingly less safe if Mikey Sherrow wins. That's all unambiguously true. But, I mean, this is a basic human decency issue here. Can we trust someone? Can we deal with somebody in good faith who just made a complete pattern in her life about lying just about everything that matters, both big and small? Shameless plug, go over to my website, savejersey.com. I wrote a piece back on September 29th. I'll retweet it at my handle, Matt Rooney NJ. I laid out all of Cheryl's compulsive lying. It's all too familiar to the voters of my state. It should be disqualifying. I can't wait to hear what Brent Sadler has to say about it, because as I said, he had a front row suit. So we're going to get to that and a whole lot more here on the Matt Rooney Show on 1210 WPHT. Remember, don't just listen on Saturday nights. Make sure you subscribe to our podcast over at Odyssey, iTunes, Spotify, all the places that quality podcasts are found. Let's take a quick time out because we're capitalists, play some ads, make some money, and we'll be back with Brent in just a moment.
This is Talk Radio 1210 WPHT on demand.
The big story out of the Dirty Jurors this week, folks, if you haven't heard. By the way, Dan Valdez, did you know there's an election? Have I mentioned that recently?
Is there an election?
Yeah, there's an election this year in New Jersey.
Nice.
Kind of a big deal. Maybe we should start talking about it.
Yeah, you haven't done that for the past however many weeks.
You mean the past however many years?
Yeah.
That we've been trying to save Jersey around here. Well, the big story in the New Jersey election 2025 that percolated out there in the ether over the past week or so is the fact that Mikey Sherrill, the Democrat nominee for governor, did not walk at her Naval Academy graduation. Now, even if you didn't attend the military academy, folks, I think you can appreciate the fact that if you do not get to walk at graduation, which is the ultimate end to your academic career, right? Usually it's for a very notorious reason. The thing that's concerning to me about her not walking at her Naval Academy graduation is not only was it apparently due to some kind of poor conduct as a cadet down in Annapolis, but she's already changed her story two or three times, right? It's the lie that is concerning, not necessarily even what somebody did when they're 22. Because, look, I'll tell you, none of us want to be judged by everything that happened when we were in our early 20s or in our teens. But eventually you got to grow up and you got to own up. And we've had, and Mr. Valdez, you may have some experience with this from being on this program. In New Jersey, we have had one or two incidents in recent memory of dishonest politicians. I know that'll come as a shock to some of you. I mean, we literally just had a U.S. senator go to jail because he took gold bars in exchange for favors. So you might understand why we're a little hypersensitive to dishonesty. So the New Jersey political race has been upended. Where can we go for some context, for some sober perspective on
SaveJersey.com?
Okay. Listen, I love you plugging it, bud. I love you plugging it, but that was a little quick on the hair trigger there.
I like doing things prematurely. What do you want me to do?
You do. Bella tells me all the time. So here's what I think you should do. I think you should head over to the Daily Caller, one of my favorite websites, and you should read one of the latest opinion pieces, Mikey Sherrill's muddy response to resurrected Navy cheating scandal, a bad look. It's not just from some random contributor, conservative talking head. No, it's from a gentleman who didn't just go to an academy. He was actually a classmate of Mikey Sherrill at Annapolis. His name is Brent Sadler. He is a senior research fellow for naval warfare and advanced technology at the Heritage Foundation's Allison Center for National Security. And he joins us now on the Matt Rooney Show. Brent, welcome to 1210 WPHD.
Yeah, good evening.
Now, one of the things that jumped out at me about your opinion piece is that, you know, academy graduates, I had an uncle that went to the Naval Academy. You guys take your fraternity very seriously. Mm-hmm. You take your honor code very seriously. And you don't like to speak ill of each other, except in the gravest of circumstances. And if anybody reads this piece that you shared over at dailycaller.com, and thank you for that, by the way, for speaking out, it doesn't read like a partisan hit job. It reads like someone who takes the Naval Academy tradition very seriously and is wounded by what's been in the media over the course of the past couple weeks. Can you tell me what made you decide to speak out about Mikey Sherrill and this cheating scandal from the early 90s?
Yeah, I wish we were talking about something else for sure. The scandal was pretty significant back in 1992 when it happened, but it started to break all throughout 93, and it tarred the image of the Naval Academy even after commissioning. For those that I was an engineer major, not even touched by it, and didn't even have the same test, didn't even know anything about it until by reading the stories and seeing the investigation of NCIS agents. So it lingered for years afterwards, many years after. Every once in a while, some chiefs or other officers make snide comments to try to kind of put you down. It was always come up from time. So we always had to deal with it. So now this comes up again. And I'd say the reason that I really, that I kind of had to speak out is it's not just my voice, though. This is personal because it does tar my reputation as well, again, from this scandal. And again, we're talking about my alma mater at Annapolis, the Naval Academy. But there's quite a few other folks that don't have the voice or the ability to kind of to speak out like I do without fear of retribution or to have a platform. And so I wanted to make sure that this was, you know, balanced. It's not, and folks that know me know that I'm not a partisan hack, that I do want to focus in on what's going to make the nation stronger and what's going to be the right thing to do. And in this case, it was clear that a scandal of the past was being brought back up, not because, you know, the truth can't be tolerated. It needs to come forward. But rather, again, trying to obscure or hide from the facts of the past or to kind of expose, like bring it out and say what she learned from it. She tried to obscure things, and it's making it actually worse and not better. And so that was the motivation.
Well, you hit the ball directly out of the park with the last paragraph. And I'm just going to read it verbatim here because I think it bears repeating and telegraphing and projecting to everyone that's willing to listen. Second chances are often warranted, and as the Secretary of War stated yesterday, the military needs to move away from a culture of zero defect. Honor, however, like trust, is hard to earn back. The question of the day, then, is has Sherrill earned back the public's trust? I mean, that really is the million-dollar question, right, folks? And to your point about how she continues to evade this issue, refuse to release her disciplinary records. We've heard a couple different versions of it. I mean, it certainly doesn't seem to me like she's earning back our trust, at least by owning the mistakes that she previously made. I didn't understand, forget morality for a second, from a strictly strategic point of view, why she wouldn't just release it and say, hey, listen, you know, I did something dumb as a young woman. I learned from it. It made me the congresswoman and the mom and the helicopter pilot that I ultimately become. I mean, the fact that she wasn't able to do that, Brent, I have to assume it's because maybe she never did learn that lesson.
Yes. Or as some have suggested, there's more to the story. And some of it I kind of, you know, I don't know her specific case, but there were several categories of folks that were under investigation. And if you missed your graduation, you were being held back for honor remediation and training. That was probably because there was something significant in there. And I'm not so sure the story about, you know, snitches get stitches commentary, which is completely and wholly inappropriate for those that are in the uniform service. I mean, you have a higher calling to do the right thing and for things bigger than yourself or your friends. And again, that's the real question. She keeps obscuring the background on this one. It'd be better to do just like you said. Hey, you know what? I made a mistake. You know, this is the facts, and move forward. Let the record come out. I mean, there's ways to do that appropriately. And I think at this stage, it's probably the better thing to do for the reputation of the Naval Academy, those also of graduates of the Academy of the class of 94 as well, to air all of this detail out. To make it clear what actually happened, rather than continue to string the story along. Because right now, where's her allegiances? Clearly to herself, Will it be to our old roommate, Spanberger, who's also a congresswoman running for higher office? Or will it be to the Democrat Party? But, you know, this constituents need to ask the question, where will the loyalties be? And that's the real question she has to address. And certainly trust is a part of that.
Something I was scratching my head about in the original story that was written about this over at the New Jersey Globe, it mentioned that while there was no technical interruption in her military service, she was assigned to Annapolis for 254 days after the graduation she didn't walk in. Eventually, they sent her to Pensacola for flight school. I have talked to numerous members of the Navy, flyers too, over the course of the last several days trying to understand this because they didn't let me into Annapolis, by the way. I got the nomination, but I didn't get the appointment because somebody probably rightly realized putting me in charge of a multi-billion dollar piece of military equipment would be a very bad idea. So good on the military for catching that one early on, Brent. But no one can understand this 254-day thing. Apparently, it's somewhat unprecedented.
A little bit, but I mean, having lived it, and again, the experience of folks that were there also kind of can attest to the same story. Flight school in those days was backlogged, so some delay. 200 plus days is a bit on the excessive end, but again, I think she probably missed the window for classes to go to flight school because she had to do this remediation training through the summer after graduation before she could get her graduation and her commission. So. That certainly did impact her career in some respect, but at the time there were a lot of delays in the flight training. And again, it was the first time that we had the combat exclusion law, something I was for, and I'm still for, the combat exclusion being revoked to allow women into some of these combat billets so that it can balance the workload, so to speak, more fairly. And so that may have also been something in the calculation that, you know, to try to get her into the flight school as soon as they could after that. But the consequence was she had this honor school that she had to do. So a lot of things, a lot of people trying to do a lot of things, a lot of firsts moving forward in the 90s, 1993, 94 timeframe. Yep. And she kind of set back a lot of things, not just the reputation of the Naval Academy.
Yeah, no, that's true. When we're talking to Brent Sadler, everyone from the Heritage Foundation, what's relevant for our context is that he's a graduate of the United States Naval Academy, same class as Mikey Sherrill, Democrat running for governor this year in the Great Garden State. And before he wrote this wonderful op-ed over at the Daily Caller, he first popped up on many of our radar here in New Jersey who were paying attention to this race because he owned Jessica Tarlov, which in of itself I think makes you worthy of some kind of you know, medal or some kind of honorific title in my mind, Brent, because talk about somebody else that continues to set back a lot of people with her inane commentary. Let me ask you this. We live in a day and age, and I'm speaking to you as a millennial here, where I think that morality generally has become very relativistic. And I think people expect that their politicians lie and are going to lie because so many of them do. Why is it that you believe, and so many of your fellow graduates believe, that honor is so darn important, that speaking out about someone lying concerning an exam, whether or not she cheated herself or whether or not she was just covering for others, we may never know because she's not disclosing that. Why is it something that we should weigh so heavily when we're making weighty decisions like, hey, who are we going to have lead a state or a country?
Well, I think it's important to kind of go back to the day, you know, why you get accepted the Naval Academy is that you are going to be held at a higher standard because you are a patriot and you are fully committed to the defense of the nation and protecting your fellow American. It's nation before self. And the honor code at the Academy is very simple. No lie, cheating, or stealing. But that you do that and you adhere to that, there's going to be situations in life where you're going to feel that you're going to be conflicted. And the character, you know, a person's character is really determined on how you go through those kind of circumstances. And once you lose that honor, you really can never really get back. It's tarnished. You can try very hard to get the trust back over years. And that trust amongst sailors, they rely on your competency that when you see something, do something beyond or being asked to do something beyond your competency, you're going to say, this is beyond my capacity very clearly. It might hurt you professionally. But the danger is you could run that aircraft into the ground, or just me as a submariner could run that submarine into a submerged seamount if you don't know what you're doing, or kill everyone on board. So it's very much a life and death deal amongst shipmates. And honor is that glue that sticks and binds everyone together. And formation based on foundation of its own competence, but of course you have to have that trust, and that's the key thing. And I think what kind of is a nagging part of this whole thing is having clearly walked away from the honor code at one point in time, viewing again personal allegiances over those bigger than hers that should have been what drove the priority. It's not clear to me that that is where she is. What's the calling? What's the real motivation? Where her allegiances are to the constituencies, to the nation, to herself, to her fellow Democrats, again, like Spanberger right now, who are old roommate, kind of comes to mind from time to time on this as well.
I wish Mikey would go back to Virginia, because that's where she's from. She's only been in New Jersey for about 5 minutes. You probably live there, so I'm sorry to foist her on you, but it would really help us here in New Jersey. Now, you make some wonderful points, and they're ones we all need to internalize, because liars don't always engage in that kind of self-reformation, and she's continued to lie about a number of things, even dumb things. I've said it to my kids before, like, why did you lie about that, right? I mean, what compelled you to think that not being truthful would help in that situation or even made any sense? Mm-hmm. I mean, she even, I guess it was maybe about a year ago, said that her grandfather flew a B-52 during World War II. that would be a mistake you'd expect me to make, Brent. I'm a poli-sci major. She's a military pilot, and she tweeted it. It's not some kind of thing that she misspoke in a moment of distraction or something during a rally. Yeah. So I have deep concerns, and I think we all need to internalize your advice, right? We don't necessarily judge people on the basis of whether or not they're perfect. The question is, have they earned back their trust? Have they demonstrated they've earned something? And Mikey Sherrill, I don't think we're quite there yet. I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth. If you were her, would you release your disciplinary record at this point?
Well, the thing I would have done is I would have owned my past history, and I would have said, you know, this is what I did, this is how I learned, and how I've overcome it. Right now, we don't know what she learned from that experience. We don't know that she's overcome it. So this is cloud hanging over of, can she be trusted, and where are her allegiances? And this, unfortunately, what got me, again, I'm speaking from because it does affect me personally, but it also affects a lot of my fellow shipmates. Classmates from the Naval Academy, and those are still there now. This tarnishes the reputation. So, at the very least, come forward and come, you know, get the records out there so that we can move beyond this and stop the questioning and this kind of clear the clouds that are hanging over this 30-plus year scandal.
Brent Sadler, everyone. He's a senior research fellow over at the Heritage Foundation. They do great work over there, aside from the fact that they once, many years ago, let me serve as an intern. Brent, where can we find you and your great work online?
Probably the best, you know, on X, it's at Brent D. Sadler. LinkedIn is a place where I'll post most of my current writings and other commentaries. And then at heritage.org, you can find me there as well.
Greatly appreciate you spending some time with us on this episode of the Matt Rooney Show. And again, speaking out about this, I started out saying it, I'll loop back here at the end. It's not an easy thing for a guy like you, who has served your country and takes the Naval Academy tradition very seriously. You guys only really tend to speak out about this kind of stuff when it's pretty serious. So I appreciate, as a New Jerseyan as an American, your testimony in this regard.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. And I wish we were talking about something else like China or Russia.
I was going to say, we'll have you back soon to talk about something. I don't know if the right word is happier, but something a little bit more optimistic, since in some ways we're now moving in the right direction as a country. Thank goodness. Brent Sadler, everyone of the Heritage Foundation, thank you for joining us, sir.
All right. Have a good night.
And you are listening to the Matt Rooney Show here on 1210 WPHD. Quick timeout, but don't worry, we're going to be back with you in just a moment.
Thanks for listening to Talk Radio 1210 WPHD On Demand.
No twit talk tonight, folks. I'm sorry. Sometimes too much of a good thing ain't good for you. But
yeah, unfortunately.
We kind of have like a one clip twit talk. that may wet your whistle.
I don't. No.
What do you mean don't?
Wet your whistle? Don't say that.
Why?
That's a X-rated term.
Is it?
Yeah.
Really?
It means getting your weenie wet.
I have never heard that.
Oh, well, Flo Rida said that, so
see,
I gotta take it from Flo
Rida. You Gen Zers spend too much time consuming porn. That's your problem. You're all perverts. You're all perverts. But let's move away from perversion to alleged racism for a minute. I have heard that from you, probably.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're not a producer. We use another term for you.
Gooner.
Yeah. But listen, so this story, most important thing happening in the country, by the way, right now, is from CBS 10 down in Tampa Bay. Now, I want you to listen to this and listen to the song and the description of the song you're about to hear and tell me if you think it is something insidious or if it's something that is innocent you remember from your own childhood.
Anger. Happy birthday to you. You live in the zoo. You look like a monkey. And you smell like one, two. Woo! Give a clap, everybody.
Now, obviously the limitations of the medium, folks. I don't know how old this little boy is. He's six, so he's probably like kindergarten. Right. Apparently, his mother down in Polk County, Florida, is going crazy. She is hot. She is angry because her son's teacher sang that song, which she thinks is a racist variation of the Happy Birthday song. The little boy is black and his mother's black. Now, I'm not ignorant enough where I don't see how this is being spun that way, right? But goodness gracious, I've heard that version of the birthday song for my entire nearly 41 years of life on Earth. I mean, have you heard that before, Dan?
Probably.
Yeah.
There's someone who commented on this article saying I'm 54 years old and I genuinely have never heard that version of the birthday Happy Birthday ever.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, my uncle used to sing it to me. And newsflash, if you've never seen me, I'm white.
Are you?
I'm painfully white.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
Yeah, you are paler than the Sahara.
I do tend to tan though. I'm a pale Irish this time of year.
Yeah, well, that's good.
So, you know, we're making progress, folks, as a country, in becoming desensitized to the outrage machine. But there are still people out there looking for ways to be offended. And the thing that really kind of ticks me off about this is, I mean, look, I don't know this teacher. She could be the most wonderful teacher on the planet. She could be a monster when she goes home at the end of the day, you know, drowning puppies in the bathtub. But she seems like she genuinely is a sweet person and that wanted to do something funny for this kid's birthday. I mean, did you, from that clip alone, right, because that's all we can really judge by, did you detect any malice towards this kid? Any attempt to try to make this six-year-old child feel bad about themselves or to marginalize them?
No, but I can see how people took it in the wrong way. I mean, I don't think she went in that day and was like, you know what, I'm going to make this a racist song towards a black kid. I don't think that's what she thought, but I can see how it's taken that way.
But should they, right? That's the point.
Probably not, but you're going to have those people saying that they should. I mean, the whole comments that I saw were like, yo, you got to report this teacher to the school board and like, this is not okay. And the kid didn't like this and all that.
So. He looked fine to me. That's one of the things that's interesting about it. Remember, this is a six-year-old. Right. Anybody who's ever had a six-year-old child kind of knows how they are. They're very easily manipulated by the emotions of their parent. He looks perfectly happy and like he's enjoying his birthday in the video in which he is sung with the rest of his class this variation of the birthday song. Then, you know, of course, he's interviewed by CBS and he's sitting with his mother and he looks like somebody stole his candy directly out of his hand. It's... Look, we have to stop seeing the worst in each other. We have to stop assuming that our fellow Americans are trying to hurt us. There's enough real injustice out there. There's enough real hurt in the world. There's enough people that are crappy human beings that are trying to maim or harm or drag other people down into their own misery. We don't need to invent examples of it. And even if you think that song was inappropriate, which, you know, again, I'm just not where you're at. Sorry if you're one of those people. I mean, at some point, shouldn't intent matter, right? I mean, should we be canceling someone or consequences someone when they clearly their only goal here was to do their job and bring a little joy into a little boy's life? It makes me sad. The only reason I'm not sadder about it is because we all know the progress we've made as a culture over the past few years in moving away from wokeness, moving away from hypersensitivity and political correctnesses. And as we continue to do so, we're going to be happier.
I think everyone just wants to make something out of something.
Yeah.
Like, there's no need to make other things, you know, there's no need to make any of this out of control. Like, there's no. I think everything is too politicized. Everything is, you know, people are afraid of cancel culture and all this kind of stuff. So it's like, whatever.
Well, right. Like, if you're
politicizing things.
Well, if you're genuinely offended, why not go to the teacher? Listen, I know you were trying to make my kid's day happy, but given the fact that people have said some ugly things in the past in relation to a certain ethnic group, you know, using the word monkey, that, you know, I appreciate if you didn't say that to my child. Like, why not handle it that way, right?
Yeah.
Right, right. Instead of running to CBS News and acting as if this is the civil rights transgression of a generation, right? Which is, again, like, I don't know, maybe we'll eventually find out this teacher is an awful human being, but I didn't get that from the facts and evidence, right? Also, in that video, she seemed pretty sweet.
Why is this a news story? Like it affects the people in that school. Like, it affects one family. It doesn't affect everyone. It's not everyone. Like, I don't see how this is newsworthy.
But we know the answer, right? I mean, you're right.
Literally every day.
It's not, but they know that people are going to be upset. They're going to react. And then shows like this one are going to have to step in and say, everybody come up for air, go outside and touch grass, right?
Yeah.
And the outrage machine is something that the media profits from, which is one of the many reasons why you don't hate the legacy media enough, right? They're not genuinely interested in racial justice, the advancement of our society, equality for all, et cetera, and so on. No, they make money off of you clicking. That's how they make their cash. That's how they make their scratch. Now, say what you want about talk radio. Certainly, there are those out there that are just slinging red meat, right? But here, we actually have to have a conversation. If I'm not carrying on a conversation that you think has value, then you're not going to subscribe, right? You're not going to listen.
Yeah.
You're going to tune out, right? So at some point, you have to think that there's some added value for you, even if it's humor. The media doesn't work that way. Somebody sees that on Facebook or Instagram or wherever the hell else it's shared, and they click it and they get ticked off, and just on and on it goes. Does anybody get stronger for it? Does anybody get better for it? No. Just keeps the cycle of crap going. I'm opting out, Daniel.
Cool.
You know, speaking of happiness, you're not happy unless somebody's dumping a bucket of blood on your head, are you?
Correct. And splash me with whatever they splash me with and sprinkle me with sprinkles.
I was just going to ask a question. I immediately decided not to
go
do
ahead.
It.
No, go ahead. Everyone's
what do you, when you and Bella, instead of doing something a normal couple would do, like go to the movies or a walk in the park, go to dinner, you guys go to a farm and have somebody dump blood on your head.
Right.
What are you feeling?
This isn't Carrie. Come on.
What are you feeling in a moment? What are you feeling in that moment?
Horny.
Yeah, that's what I was afraid of. This is what keeps me up at night. That answer right there.
No, honestly, I know no one's going to hurt me down there. That's not their intention. And if I did get hurt down there, then I know they would also drop everything to make sure that I'm okay. So,
what inspires this confidence? And I'm not suggesting you shouldn't have it, but why do you feel so safe?
I've seen how people react in these things. And I know how these people are trained because I've worked in one for multiple years. And literally, like, if someone falls down or someone has a panic attack or whatever the injury or whatever it might be, like, they immediately rush these people. And I can tell you, some of these haunt actors are, like, the sweetest people you've ever met. Like, you've ever met.
Okay. Because
everyone has the same, you know, everyone enjoys doing this. Sometimes they're volunteers and sometimes they're getting paid for it. But everyone has, like, the same passion of doing it. So I just feel if something was to happen down there, I feel like they would stop everything to make sure that person is okay. They're providing
not all heroes wear capes, I guess.
Huh?
Not all heroes wear capes, I guess.
Yeah, I guess. I mean, Batman wasn't down there, but that's okay.
All right. Well, next time I see you, I'll bring a squirt gun and I'll put some red food dye in there.
That's not the same.
Smack you right in the face with it. Why is it not the same?
Because I'm generally terrified of you.
my incessant bullying.
Do you have like a...
No one's going to save you. That's true. Like, you just gave this, you know, poetic...
Do you have like a little tiny like stroller or like a wagon or something you can at least pull me in to make it simulate a haunted hayride?
Yeah, no, absolutely. I'll even throw... I got some hay bales. I'll throw some hay in there.
Oh, now we're talking... All right, then that's fine. You can...
Yeah. Yeah, what we'll do is I'll have Bella pull it down my driveway and I'll jump out from behind a tree and right in your face.
Yeah, you don't even need a costume on. I'll be like, ah, it's Matt.
Oh, he's going to say mean things about me. See, I'm not really Hispanic. That's what my haunted attraction would be, me jumping out and saying cutting things.
Oh.
No, it's not going to be an all Hispanic hayride.
They're going to pop out and be like, oh, Mikey Sherrill, hi.
Oh, taxes.
Yeah. Joe Biden, hi.
Cheated on her test.
Yep.
I mean, we could have a simulation of being an illegal alien, and ICE jumps out and gets you.
I mean, that's easy.
That'd be kind of fun.
I'm just Hispanic, so like that would be fine.
You're like 1/15. We've been over this. Elizabeth Warren is more Native American than you are Latino.
Correct, but I still use it for college applications when I was in college.
I'm sure you did. You and Mikey Sherrill would fit in well together.
Yep, this is a DEI company.
You're both frauds.
I mean, they got to hire the Hispanic at 1210. You know, Justin doesn't count, so it's me.
No, he's like the real deal.
Yeah, I know.
He's like the real deal. I forget, is he Cubano or Puerto Ricanio? He's Puerto Ricanio, right?
I'm Cubano.
You're Cubano. All right, so he's, because I know one of you had Puerto Rican heritage and one of you was Cuban.
I mean, Bella's also Puerto Rican.
Oh, really?
Yeah, she's literally half.
Yeah, see? There you go.
So she's more Hispanic than I am.
She is. Well, we should have brought Belle in here, folks. If you listen to this episode of the Matt Rooney Show, you have no doubt in your mind that we would have been better off with Bella. But sometimes you get what you get and you can't get upset. Remember, be sure to subscribe to the Matt Rooney Show, wherever good podcasts can be found. And don't forget, I'm plugging it every time I'm on here on 1210 WPHD. You don't want to miss the rally of the season. Go to capegop.com and sign up for the Return to the Wildwoods rally hosted by my good friend Mike Donahue down in North Wildwood. There's like 1,000 people signed up for this damn thing already. Got great guests, Paul Scanlon, Cliff Maloney, Scott Pressler. Yours truly will be speaking. That should be enough reason on its own to get down there. And of course, Jack Cittarelli, Republican candidate for governor, will be the keynote. Rich Zeoli live broadcasting from on site. And I think he's impressed me into service to co-host for at least part of the show. Probably why he's stepping out to get some funnel cake or to talk himself. So capegop.com, be sure to register. But until next time, here on the Matt Rooney Show, stay safe, stay sane, and keep fighting for this greatest nation in God's creation. It's worth it.